Here's to the crazy ones. The misfits. The rebels. The troublemakers. The round pegs in the square holes. The ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules, and they have no respect for the status quo. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them. About the only thing you can't do is ignore them. Because they change things. They push the human race forward. And while some may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius. Because the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do.
How crazy are you? You think you think different? Do you feel like you do? Do you think sometimes you are a round peg in a square hole? A rebel? Sometimes you don't follow the rules? You're not status quo? Well, you're at the right place. You've come to the right church. We capitalize on thinking different. And what I want to talk about today is thinking different. Not just thinking different for the sake of being weird or the sake of being different. But what I want to project to you today and all year is thinking different so that we can reimagine church. What would a reimagined church look like? A church that this area, this region has never seen. Never experienced. What would that church be like to attend? What would that church be like to be a part of? What could that church accomplish and do? Or maybe better put, what could that church not accomplish? Not do. So today I want to talk about that. I want us to think different. And thinking's hard. Henry Ford said this, "Thinking is the hardest work there is." Which is probably the reason so few engage in it. But I want you to engage with me today, and I want you to engage with me this year to think different about church. So humor me and think outside the box about church. It's okay to think different about church. It's okay to think different. In fact, if you, as we've kind of already recognized, if you attend LifeGate Church, it already says you think different. You don't do status quo. You don't want to be status quo. You're desiring something more, something different. And the truth of the matter is that actually you've got to be different if Jesus is really going to use you the way he wants to use you. If we're going to be a church that he wants to build, then we've got to be able to think different. One day he was off with his guys and he looked at them and he said, I want to ask you a question. He says, I want to get your thinking on how people think about me. Who do people say I am? How do they think about me? And so the disciples begin to answer. And the disciple says, well, you know what? Some people say that you're John the Baptist raised from the dead. Or and another disciple may have kicked in and said, you know what? The others say that you're Elijah. Or another one says, you know, well, you're Jeremiah. And somebody else, well, you're one of the prophets. And Jesus said this, and when I saw this, it just really got me. It stabbed me. Jesus said this, put it up for me, Matthew 16:15. It says this, but what about you? What about you? Jesus asked, who do you say I am? How do you think about me? So what about us? What about you? What about me? How do we think about Jesus, about church, about what the church should be doing and what the church should be? How do we think? Peter thinks different. So what Peter does is he just speaks out and Peter starts talking. In the next verse, in verse 16, it says this, and Simon Peter, or Simon Rock, answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. But Peter, you think so different. God can talk to you. You think so different that God can really get through to you. But my Father which is in heaven, and I say also unto thee, thou art rock. We studied in the apostles, that's what Peter means, is rock. Thou art rock. And upon this rock, or upon this Peter, upon this person, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus was already reimagining worship. And the thing that he imagined, the thing that he was seeing, the thing that he would bring forth from his imagination, he would call my church. My church. But to have this my church operation, it would require a different thinking. It would require people that thought different. They couldn't be status quo. They couldn't think the old way. They had to think a new way. They had to reimagine worship. Reimagine worship and church and sacrifices to God and worshiping of God. And I believe that we right here at Life Gate Church are that kind of people. I believe that we are different enough, think different enough, that Jesus can really build something upon us. That he can build something like this area has never, ever seen or experienced before. So what about it? You up for it? You want to go with me here for a little while? For the next few minutes, but mostly this next year, and just see how thinking different we can be. So this year, I want to challenge you. I'm going to challenge myself. Rethink, reimagine church. What would a church greater than anything we've ever experienced, that we've ever had in our area, what would that look like? What would it be like to attend it? What would it be like to be a part of it? What would a church like that be able to do? So, it's always been my desire to be a person upon whom Jesus could build. And he could build a church that would be long-living, that would not only be different, but would outlive me. And I have to think that you're that way as well. I have to think that you want to be a part of a church and operate in a church and attend a church that outlives you, that is here for your children, for your grandchildren, for your great-grandchildren, for generations and generations to come. So while we're doing it, you know, if we're going to come and do it anyway, why don't we build something that's going to be here for eternity? Why don't we put our shoulders together and our minds together and our thinking together and all of our efforts together and help Jesus build a church, be a people that upon whom he can build a church that's unlike anything that this area has ever experienced. We all experience roller coasters through life, you know. We have our ups and our downs. We have this slow kind of ascension up, and then sometimes a very speedy decline in life. And it's that way in our marriages. You know, our marriages suffer their ups and downs, and our families, their ups and downs, and our finances and our businesses, and life kind of goes like that. And church is that way too. Life Gate's that way too. We've had our ups and we've had our downs. We've had our roller coaster rides all these years. But what I want to make emphasis here on is that all the ups and all the downs, and through all of that time, all the things that hell has tried to blockade us with and stop us with and come at us with, it hasn't prevailed. It hasn't stopped us. What I'm wanting to make the point is that tells me something. That tells me that, you know what, Jesus really is building this. That he really is using us to build something upon. And I don't know if we've really come to that understanding yet. To that amount of revelation that, you know what, that tells us he's really behind this thing. And that encourages me. It makes me want to shout. makes me know something. Jesus is building it. I think back about all the years of LifeGate, all the years when we began now. And I think about how it was and how we always have thought and think different when we came to town and we began this ministry. Some of you were there. And we were kind of the first ones. We had some instruments there, but we were the first ones to really introduce real live praise and worship. Singing choruses, singing it, doing it the way the Bible says to do it. Singing the Psalms and really encouraging people to enter into praise and worship, understanding the tabernacle of David and how David came into Jerusalem and dancing and praising God with all of his might. We were the first to do that, and we were criticized greatly because we were thinking different. Now, that's not that strange. Now, just about every church has live instruments and music, and they do that kind of a thing. But I was getting calls back then, you're doing that devil music. But we were thinking different. And you remember how it was? We had our dance team, and the children would come down, and they'd dance, and do line dances. We had to kind of square some stuff up, but they were praising God, and it was different. We were doing so many things, and we were so criticized for stuff that we were doing. And it was long across the street. We had a dance team. Well, we were thinking different. We think different here. We thought different about a lot of things. We thought different about praise and worship. We thought different about different things like projectors and cameras in the sanctuary. You don't know how it was criticized. You don't put them in the sanctuary. And where's your cross anyway? It's really right back there. There's one back there. But I'm a cross too. I took up my cross. My point is this, is that, listen, we introduce stuff so that we can praise God, and they just aren't up there for just to look good. They're up there so you can read the Bible. You can't turn to the Bible and verse and chapter and verse as fast as I want you to get there. And so I put it up here so you can read it along with us, and today all of us read the Bible. We were innovative there. We brought that to town first. We brought that to our area first. We're thinking different. Another thing that I've always think different about, and we're still kind of out there on this one, but it's the teaching of the kingdom of God. We really teach and preach the kingdom of God the way Jesus taught it and preached it. He's king now. He's not going to be king. He's not coming back one day to be king. He's king now. I remember one of the parades that we did. It was one of the first ones we ever got in, a Christmas parade. And everybody else had their little floats with the manger scene. And that's okay. But we did a float that said, "He's not just a baby anymore." And yeah, we had a little manger there, but we had King Jesus there. With a king, with a crown on and a scepter. Wasn't it Steve Allman? We had up there at that time, riding through town, blaring out that song. "He's not just a baby anymore." They're thinking different. And they didn't know what to do with us. And I remember we did a couple of parades, but I remember another one that we did. Remember the one we did with the globe and it rotated around? And the theme of the parade that year was "Joy to the World, the Lord has come." Well, to us, The Lord has come. We did that. We did the globe. And we had angels up there sounding trumpets with swords, He's the king. He's come. He's over. He's reigning and ruling the earth right now. He does rule the world. And they didn't understand our float. It was a very good float, too. We're different. We've always thought different. We think different here. But as different as we've thought and think, what I want to say is that, what God is here, the thinking that God is here isn't taking us there. I'm going to work on that. What God is here was good and even great. But it's not taking us where we want to go. So I want to talk about that. See, in our personal lives, What gets us to where we are, to the success that we're able to experience, is our talents, our gifts, our abilities. And so we apply all that stuff, and we come to a place in life, and it's like we kind of bog down. And we can't go any further. So what's going on? Well, what's happening? So we either have to do one of two things. We either have to settle for where we are, or we have to reimagine, re-image, think different, get outside the lines, kind of find out what it is that God is there. Our thinking has got us to this point, but it's not taking us to where we want to go. So, doing what I do, you know sometimes what happens with us is that I talk to a lot of folk, I talk to a lot of people, ministering to them, and many times the reason that they can't go on is not because they need to learn something new to do, it's that they need to learn what to stop doing. See, it's just as important to know what to stop doing as it is to know what to do. And so, it's that way in church. We all experience that in life. A lot of times we bog down, and a lot of times what's bogging us down is not that we need to learn something new, it's need to learn to stop doing something we're doing. We can relate to this. Perhaps we need to stop eating so much. We need to stop spending so much. We need to stop drinking alcohol so much. We need to stop smoking so much. We need to stop doing drugs. We need to stop hanging out with certain people. We need to stop doing it. It's not that you got to start doing something sometimes. It's what you need to stop doing. So in our rethinking process that I'm projecting to us all, is I want us to think like that. Not only are there things I think we need to begin doing and start doing, and I believe there are, but I also think there may be some things that we need to stop doing. Now, let me reiterate here just a little bit, because over the past 3-4 years, we have stopped doing a lot of things. So maybe we need to reimagine that. Maybe we need to go back and think again. Reimagine those things that we stopped. Do we need to start them again? But in our process that we do in our lives, in our church, we not only need to look at things that we need to start doing, but things that we also need to maybe stop doing. And these are flip sides, of course, of the same coin. So, what do you think? What do you think in church? Are you thinking about something that maybe we could start doing, or maybe something we could stop doing? So what does it really mean if we reimagine church? And so, you know what I like to do? I like to put definitions of words on the screen so we can kind of get our heads wrapped around them and all get on the same page. So here we go. The word re means to do again. To do again, repetition. But here's what I really like, regenerate. I like that. Is there some things we need to regenerate? Crank back up again. Are there some new things that we need to regenerate? What is it? And then imagine. This is good. It comes, of course, from the word image. It means to form a mental picture. Okay, got that. But here's what I like. Something not present to the senses. Something I'm not yet able to touch, feel, smell. Something I'm not yet able to get my head wrapped around, that I'm able to comprehend. To embrace. So if you reimagined church, what would you re-image? What would you see? How would it look to you? What new mental picture would you get of something that's not yet present? What would that look like? And I want you to get out of the thoughts of a building, of a structure, or get beyond. Walking in here and sitting, listening to Terry and the praise team sing and listening to me talk. But go beyond that. And I'm going to do that in just a second, but let's break it down into church chunks. Just chunk it up so we can get our heads wrapped around what I'm talking about better. Now, reimagine, re-image. When a computer is re-imaged, what's happened is there's something wrong with it. You just don't re-image a computer just to take time. I mean, there's something wrong with the computer. It's gotten sluggish. It's bogging down. It's been infected with viruses. It's got in there and it's corrupted perhaps the system. Perhaps malware has gotten in there and it's got the software in there that's attacking your registry. Maybe perhaps your registry is fragmented and your hard drive is fragmented and now your computer is just not running right. It's bogged down. It won't do what it needs to be doing. And so you re-image it. You don't replace the operating system. You're re-imaging it. You're removing out the viruses. You're removing out the malware. You're defragging it. You're getting things back like they all should be. The registry's working. And so that the computer can work at its full potential. And this is what I'm wanting to get us to see. What do we need to do? What do we need to re-image at LifeGate so that LifeGate can operate at its full potential? See, we've had some very prosperous years. We've had some years that weren't so prosperous. But I believe that our most prosperous years are yet to come. I believe they're still ahead of us. So what do we need to do to get there? What do we need to do to get there from here? Because what's gotten us here isn't taking us there. So let's re-image this thing. Let's re-see this thing. What do we need to start doing? What do we need to stop doing? I'm not talking about replacing the whole operating system. But let's take out what doesn't need to be in there. And let's put in what does need to be in there. So that LifeGate Church can operate at its full potential. Now the apostles took the Old Testament and they re-imaged. And they came out with the New Testament. Because they thought different. Jesus taught them to think differently. Jesus taught them to take the Old Testament, the law of Moses, and to re-image that because it had become virus-filled. It had become infected with malware, with viruses of Judaism and laws and legalisms and sacrifices of animals and all this stuff. And Jesus taught them to re-image it. And to think different. It had become infected with viruses of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the false teachings. It had gotten the malware of all of these different things that had come in there and all of these legalisms that the Pharisees had taught them. And it had gotten fragmented by all the different religious sects that were going around. And Jesus taught them how to fix this. And Jesus taught us and taught them to think different. Think different. When we study the things of Jesus, this is what his teaching's basically all about. In the best sermon that we're related with or related to or recognize when it's said, it's called the Sermon on the Mount. We've all heard of it and read it, hopefully. But in that sermon, Jesus over and over and over again says something like this. You have been taught and told to think like this, but I tell you, think like this. Reimagine, re-image this to this. Let me read you just about three of these. There's a lot we could do, but I just wanted to throw these at you real fast. In Matthew 5:21, it says this. Have you ever heard that it was said to the people long ago? In other words, this is what the Old Testament had taught you to think. This is what they taught you to think. This is how they taught you to be. Do not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you, I want you to reimage that. I want you to reimagine that. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Jesus says if you reimage it correctly, it's going to be far better. If you control your anger, you won't kill anyone. Now, this is what he's saying here is a commandment. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Jesus says you need to re-image that. Don't get angry. Let's do another one. Matthew 5:27. You have heard that it was said. Again, this is how you've been taught to think. Do not commit adultery. But I tell you, here's how you must think. Here's how you re-image. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. The re-imaging is simple. Don't lust, no adultery. And it says you got to re-image it. You got to go from here to there. And it's going to cause different kinds of thinking to get you there. Matthew 5:43. One more. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. This is how you've been taught to do. But I tell you, re-image, rethink. Here's how you got to think. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. See, Jesus taught us, he taught his disciples to think different. He re-imaged worship. He re-imaged synagogue worship to church worship. He re-imaged it. He saw it different. What do you see? If you can re-image what we do, what will you come out with? What kind of a church would that be? If you re-imaged everything about it, what kind of a church would that produce that would be so different than anything that this area, this region's ever experienced? And sometimes we don't know exactly how something should look or be because it's not yet in our senses. We don't know what it should be, and the reason is because it doesn't yet exist. What I'm talking about doesn't yet exist. Not around here. So, what do we need to do? It doesn't yet exist, so what do we need to do? Well, we gotta think. Henry Ford is referenced as saying this. If I had asked people what they wanted, they would have said, faster horses. Do we need faster church? Goodness, we do church at light speed now. And maybe we need to rethink that. Henry Ford invented the automobile chain. It was a production line. Because what he wanted to do was take people from here to there. He wanted to take people out of horse and buggies and put them into automobiles. He wanted to take them from here to there. And that's what I want to do. I want to take us from here to there. And it's not that what's gotten us here is bad. In fact, it's been great. But it's not taking us to there. And so it's going to require some re-imaging. It's not going to require a faster horse. It's going to require some processing, some thinking. And I believe that's what you want too. And I believe the reason that we really want this is because we know that's what Jesus wants. Do you think that Jesus wants us to just bog down right here? This is it? This is all? I don't. And I don't believe you do either. I really believe that you want to be a part. If you're going to do it, then let's do it well. If we're going to do it, let's do it right. Let's create something that just doesn't yet exist. How would that look? What would that be like? So let's begin by putting some legs and a face on what I'm talking about. And the very first thing is this particular thought. There's a commercial on television. I know that most, if not all of us, have seen it. I think it's Hunt Nissan. But it says this. Maybe you can say it to me. If it has our name on it, you got our word on it. Yeah, you've seen it. What is that saying? I like it. You've seen it. This man, woman, and the child comes out, and they in unison say, if it's got our name on it, you have our word on it. What are they trying to project? What's they attempting to? If you deal with us, you're going to have a great experience. From the time you begin dealing with us until you stop dealing with us, you're going to have a good experience. You buy a car here, we're going to service it, we're going to take care of you, you're going to have a great experience. I like that. It's an excellent experience. Judy and I are like that. We always want it to be excellent. It might not be expensive. It might not be the best money can buy, but it's the best we can do. It's not half done. We put everything we possibly can into it. And so if it's got LifeGate's name on it, it's got your name on it. It's all of us. And it needs to be an excellent experience. Do you agree with that? Yeah. I don't like things half done. So, if I go to church, I want it to be an excellent experience. from the time I drive into the parking lot to the time I drive out of the parking lot. I want it to be an excellent experience, but plus I want it to stir me even during the week. I want it to have challenged my thinking so that somewhere along the line during the week, I'm thinking about that again. What did he say, or what did we sing, or how did that work out? You know, I want it to come back again. I just don't want to be here an hour and that's it, you know. I want it to be an excellent experience. If I were to go down to Florida with Lance and Jen, Michael Lance and John David, and we go to church, and we take the boys to the children's ministries and nurseries or whatever that you take your children's to. If we go there, I want to know that it's an excellent ministry. I want to know that the children are safe. I want to know my grandchildren are safe. And I can go out there and I can worship God in spirit and truth and not have to be concerned about what's happening to my kids. I want an excellent children's ministry and nursery. I want that. An excellent student ministry if I've got teenagers. If I were to go down to Jack and Max and Bonnie and Jody, if I were to go down there and they were to distribute their kids, they would go to an older student ministry. I want to know that some pervert's about not back there messing with my grandchildren. We want an excellent ministry so that we can go out and we can worship God and praise God, spirit and truth. And then when I go to hear preaching, I demand good preaching. I demand good teaching. If it's not good, I'm not going back. I can get by some other things. I can get by some potholes in the parking lot. I can get by some other things, some squeals in the sound system and praise and worship. I can get by some of that stuff. But if the preaching's not right, I ain't going back. Now, which brings me to this point. I am re-imaging me. Reimagining me. What would a reimagined Delbert Young look like to you? What would a reimagined Delbert Young teaching and preaching look like? And I'm asking. I'm serious here. I want to know. Is there a better way of doing it? Is there a way of doing it that this whole area has never seen before? Is there a way of preaching the kingdom of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ in a way that's never been preached before around here? Is there a way? I want to know. And maybe you've got some ideas. I want to help you here in just a second. Now, I don't want you to line up and start telling me all my faults and idiosyncrasies and, you know. But take some time and pray about it and think about it. Write it. Write me a letter. Send me an email. Say, have you thought about this? Don't say, I hate the way you do this. Just say, have you thought about not doing this? Be nice to me. But help me reimagine. How would that be? And so what I have done, what I did this past week, is I think it was Monday or so. I knew that this was coming. I knew what I was going to be talking about. And so I emailed all of our leaders, and I asked them all to reimagine what they do this week and to get back with me. Send me an email. Get back with me. Let me know what you're thinking. I want to help you think, but I want you to get outside the box. I told them, I said, no thoughts off the table, and no thought is too expensive. We can afford a thought. We might not can afford what you want to do right now, but if it's God, God can. And so, get back with me. Let me know what you're thinking. I want to know. And so, many of them have, and it's been really good, but I'm asking you to help us think. Whether you're involved in anything or not, I want you to help us reimagine church. Think, though, in terms of teams. Don't just think in terms of a building or what you come in here and listen to me talk. Think in terms of teams. Think in terms of areas of which this church is made up of. I don't want to talk about those in just a second, but I want to follow that thought that I've just projected with this thought. Because, you see, sometimes the way some people see ways of helping and reimagining, their way is to complain. Now, I know nobody's here like that. I know that none of you would ever do that. But for the people that might hear this on the web or might watch it on the web or might read my notes or get a CD or something, I want to say it for them, okay? Because I want to make sure we understand what I'm talking about here. You see, sometimes people that do absolutely nothing try to tell people who are doing all they can possibly do how to do what they're doing. They don't want to join in and help. They just want to complain. So don't complain. What I'm asking you to do is, if you've got some great ideas, and you probably do, you're probably already reimagining some things, don't complain about it and criticize. Jump in. Help. Support it. Make it happen. Help us reimagine it. Because a lot of times people come up with these great, great ideas, but because they're not in the mix of making it happen, it's just shoved off the table. And it never happens. And that could be the very thing that would take us from here to there. So when you're thinking about this stuff, think like this. What can I do? How can I help? Yeah, this could be better. What can I do with it? Give us your thoughts. Help us reimagine. So what I'm going to do, I got this quote here. I want to read you again. It's from Henry Ford. I found many quotes by him online. I was looking for that faster horses quote, and I found a whole bunch. And I think I got one more coming up after this, but anyway, I got into his quotes. But here's what this one says. Coming together is the beginning. It is. Glad you're here. Keeping together is progress. That's a lot of progress, too, if you can keep people together. But here's the deal. Working together is success. For a church to have success, we've got to work together. For you to have success in your personal life, you've got to work with somebody. You've got to be in a way that you can connect with someone. So what I want to do in reimaging here is I want to put some of the areas, our church chunks, out to you. And I want you to reimagine with me. Now this first one, it's a little, I have to walk on eggshells with it, but don't turn me off when I say it. Don't shut down. I want you to really listen, okay? I want you to reimagine your giving this year. This past year, 2011, we haven't had a year like this financially since way, way back, since we began the church, since back in the school times, when we had the school and had all the salaries and stuff like that that we were trying to meet. This year, though, has been tough. And it's been tough on all of us. This is a tough economical times. But there's been weeks and months this year where we didn't meet budget. Well, what does that mean? We don't meet budget. Well, it means that I have to adjust. That Judy and I have to adjust our income. Because if it has our name on it, our financial obligations are going to be met. I might not get paid, but they will. But without your giving, just beyond that, nothing happens. We can't turn the lights on. We can't pay the bills without your giving, much less minister to people, do all the benevolence work that we do, afford ministries to come in, to help us, minister to us, to do anything. So rethink, if you will, your giving this year. Rethink that. What would it be like to be able to give in such a way that's just phenomenal, like you've never experienced before? And I know that it's tough times, and maybe you can't tithe. You need to rethink your financial situation. But reimagine that. But you can give something. If you can't tithe, do something. Help us. Because to have a church in this area, unlike anything we've ever before experienced, unlike anything that's ever been here, it's going to require giving. You can't get around that. It's got to be front and foremost. So just rethink that for us. Now, the next ones I'm going to give you are real good, and I love to get to do this, and I only get to do it about once a year or so. But I get to talk about the church chunks and the different ministries that we do, and I'm going to go through these as quickly as I can. But I get to acknowledge some really, really hard workers and some people that I need to thank and pat on the back more than I do. But I get an opportunity right now to do it. So what about, let's run through some church chunks real quickly. How about greeting? Pastor Don Dowda, he watches that for us. He oversees that. You see him out there. When you come in, he's out there. He's greeting you. He's giving you the bulletins. He's giving you the notes. He's got a smile on his face. And sometimes there's people out there to help him, and sometimes there's not. Sometimes he doesn't even get to come back and pray with us because there's nobody out there to help him greet people. And I think it's just amazingly good when people walk into the building that somebody's there with a big smile on their face, especially if it's a guest and they don't know where they're going, they don't know what they're doing. And there's somebody there that will take them and say, hey, let me come show you where the nursery is, where the children's church is, where the toddler class is, where the men's room and the ladies' room is. Come, let me show you. And take some time with them. Get them feeling it more at home. Invite them to sit with them. How good would it be to have a greeting operation in a church unlike anything that we've ever experienced before? Where when people come in, they feel so good about just being here. What about you? Could you come early a couple of times a month? Work with Don? Just say, hey, man, I want to help you reimagine this. Can I help you? Just get out there 30 minutes and greet people and just show them around. Can you help us do that? See, this is a part of reimagining church. What would it be like to attend a church where you just immediately felt welcome? You just immediately knew where everything was? Reimagine that with us. Let's look at another one. How about the nursery and children's ministries back there? I'm amazed at our children's ministries and our nurseries and that kind of stuff. There's people back there with master's degrees and bachelor's degrees back there with in our nursery and with our toddlers. And you have such security. You know they're being watched over. You don't have to worry about your kids. They're back there. They're being well cared for. It's amazing to me. Now, Joyce King kind of watches over all that back there for us. And I think Joyce has got either a master's or whatever. Anyways, it's amazing how good it is. And I just want you to know that to start with. But the nursery is so well cared for and all that. But sometimes there's no nursery worker to go back there and help in the nursery. Well, what about you? Could you maybe once a month say, hey, Joyce, I'd like to come back and help you reimagine this. Have the most, I started to say a word that really wasn't a word. So it wouldn't have been a word that I was going to say. But anyway, how would it be to have a nursery unlike anything we can imagine? This is the greatest nursery. Help us reimagine that. And then you've got children's ministries back there. The children's church have their own thing going on. Angie is back there and doing it right now. She's so creative. It's amazing. You know, you saw the Christmas play that she put together. She did that. It's amazing. She and Pastor Paula Lytle is back there with your toddlers. Pastor, I think Paula has a master's degree. I mean, they're back there, and these are sharp folk. And they're back there, and they're so creative. But how about you? Maybe you're creative, and maybe you have a little burden there, too. And you could go back there and give them a little relief so they could come out here and sit with their family and enjoy some teaching and just sit. And maybe you could go back there and help us reimagine children's ministries. How would it be to have the most fantastic children's ministries imaginable? How would that be? How about praise and worship? You see, Terry, one third of the time that we're here together is praise and worship. He has one third of the service, and he never fails. No matter what's happening, no matter what's going on with drummers or whatever, he pulls it off. And I always feel like I have come out of the outer courts where things are, you know, oh man, and I come into the holy place where it's a little bit better. But man, I find myself eventually in the holies of holies, where I am worshiping God in spirit and truth. He always pulls it off. But perhaps you can play an instrument or you can sing well. Now you got to go through him. Don't come to me with this. This is his department. But maybe you can sing well or you can play an instrument. And you say, you know what, I can help. I can help reimagine that. I can help. What? The greatest praise and worship in the area? Whoa! Think about it. How about media? See, these projectors and cameras and screens and stuff, they just don't just happen. They just don't just jump up there. You know? But Kevin and Galen Robinson make sure they do every week. They make sure that the media operates and that things are going on and all the wires are everywhere. You just don't see them unless you walked up here. But wires are everywhere. They just didn't get there. Somebody labored to make all this happen for us so that we can come in and have an exceptional experience, that we can see what to sing and we can have freedom with our hands to clap and dance and praise God. We can see the scriptures and read them for ourselves. You know, this makes it so good. And maybe you're a techie person and you like that kind of thing. And you can help us. You can help us reimagine it, make it better. What would that be like? Or maybe you're not techie, but you can aim a camera, right? you can do that. Well, help us there. Give these guys a break. You know, Help us there. How about that? We had the greatest media presentation in this whole area. Life groups. Life groups as our form of Wednesday night, Sunday night services. We want people to get ministered to. So what life groups do is they go to people who have this gift of hospitality. Doug Aker, Pastor Doug Akers, takes care of that for us. He watches over that, and they do some phenomenal things. And when you go to a life group meeting, you'll get hands-on ministry. Gifts of the Spirit operate there. They'll pray for you. They'll bless you. You come down. You'll be down. They'll get you up. They'll bless you. They'll be there for supporting you. They do some phenomenal things when they have people that have in funerals. They go and they provide, make sure they have food, make sure they're ministered to. And some of the great things that we did this past year were pulled off by the life groups. The last week meeting we had here with the Black Eyed Peas. That was life groups doing that. Had us out at the park back in April. Big crowd out there. That was life groups doing that. Maybe that's something that you might do. You're hospitable. You're a person that likes to have people around. Well, then hook up with Doug. He'll train you. He'll get you prepared so that you can do this too. You can minister to people and bless people. How would that be to have life groups where people want to come from all over the place so that we can go together and we can be administered to in a house setting? Help us reimagine that. How about student ministries? Jason and Christy Booth take care of our student ministries. They do an excellent job. It's just amazing what they do. They always are providing a place down there for the children to be. They teach them. They instruct them. But one of the most amazing things that Christy's pulled off, and this just amazes me, is that she's run these yard sales, the eternal yard sale. And she does it, she labors it, she pulls it off by herself. Her and her children are down there, and they're getting money raised up so that your children can go to camp. And so that children that don't even go to this church can go to camp. I think in the last couple of years, nobody's had to pay to go to camp because Christy's down there having a yard sale. That is amazing to me. How about that? Maybe you have a desire to be involved with the children and student ministries in that area. Well, I'm sure they would love to have your help. Come down there and help them reimagine. What would it be like to have the greatest, most phenomenal student ministry in this whole area? Where kids are wanting to go to church. Oh, that's different. How about that? Maybe you could help us there. Missions. From time to time, our church will get up a group and go do something. Go overseas, go do something. Like a couple of years ago, they went to Haiti. Pastor Steve Lytle takes care of that for us. He's already doing some things and getting some stuff working so that there'll be something to do this coming year. We're going to start projecting it and having it out there for you. But until you've gone to a third world country, you really don't know how blessed you are and how much need others are in. It changes your life. So perhaps you would like to participate in something like that. They went last year, a couple of years ago, when they went to Haiti, and they got involved with this eye clinic ministry where they were helping people with cataracts, and we sent them glasses. We did a lot of things for them. The guys went, some of them, and they were working on buses. They were building doors. They were doing all kinds of stuff. These are kinds of things, too. But what would it be like to have this reimagined missions ministry, where we just could go and jump in and do something just amazing for people? Help us reimagine that. I wanted to give you a church chunk, something we can get our head wrapped around. What would a church look like? This is what it would look like. It'd have all of these things. It's not what this church could do. What is it this church could do? Missions. Now, the next two I want to give you, and I'm trying to hurry and get done here, but this is so vital, I think, to us. Are more what I'm talking about in reimagining. And the first one I want to project to you is this one. Doug and Linda Aker go to Cozy Manor. And it's a... What was the term you told me? It's a assisted living ministry. And we're all terminal. But a lot of those are much closer than we. And they go, and they love on those people, and once a month, they go. They don't make a big deal of it, unless I just think about it. I don't even think about them doing it, but they're so dedicated to it. Once a month, they go, and they serve those people communion. That's thinking different. Linda, you haven't been loved on until you've been loved on by Linda Aker. Linda Aker goes in, she loves on those people. She makes sure they get Christmas gifts from us, from the church. That's so blessed. That's thinking different. That's reimagining church. Maybe you could hook up with them and help too. What if not just Cozy Manor, but what if all the assisted living areas around here had ministries like that? Help us reimagine that. A church that is so different, a church that is so far beyond anything we've ever seen before, is going to be doing something like that. And then the last one. Up until a year ago, that I'm going to talk about, we got other things I'm sure going on that I just haven't put here, and there's things that we can create, we can't imagine, and we can create them. But up until a year ago, we didn't even have what we would call a women's ministry. But Angela and Susan Elliott, Angela Tardo and Susan Elliott, they got together and they said, we want to do this. Now, here's what's so different about that is they hooked up with Naomi Baptist. You tell me that ain't different. And now they got together and they're studying God's Word through Beth Moore's teaching on Proverbs. They come right here. Use our screens. That are so bad and so demonic to study the Word of God. And then they have these ladies' gatherings where they get together on movie nights. And they come here and they watch a good movie together. And they're just doing these neat things. And it's amazing. They're crazy enough to think they can make a difference. And they got some things planned. I hope I don't cry because I haven't read through this yet where I didn't get kind of messed up. Because this is the heart of what I'm attempting to say. They have ladies' luncheons. They got another one scheduled for April or May this year. They got a prophetic ministry. They're going to have a prophetic ministry. Now, this is going to be interesting. I want to see how this rolls out with Naomi Baptist ladies and coming into a prophetic ministry. But they're going to try to pull this off. They're going to have a food drive to help a local food pantry. They want to participate in October in the Race for the Cure, which is supporting breast cancer survivors. They're going to collect items for the women's shelter. And they're going to host a basket auction. I have no idea what that is, but this is what they're going to do. They're going to host a basket auction to raise money to pull off everything they want to do. That's what I'm talking about. That's thinking different. That's reimagining church. Instead of being fragmented, they're doing what they can to defragment. It's amazing to me what you can think if you just reimagine. What you can do, something thinking different like that, God can really build a church on that. A church that hell can't stop. A church that's going to go on and be different. So, I'm done. I just want to pose to you this question. Ask you something. If you put a percentage upon your personal contribution towards the kingdom of God, a personal percentage upon helping build a church unlike anything this area has ever seen, what would your personal contribution be? What percentage do you participate? What do you do? And so I'm wanting you to reimagine you. Reimagine your participation, your contribution. What can you add that can create a church that Jesus has built upon people like you and me, people like Peter's, who think different, who God can take and use to build something that hell itself can't stop? Are you crazy enough to think that? Do you think different enough to think that? See, God didn't make you a round peg in a square hole for nothing. He didn't make you a rebel for nothing. He didn't make you not give a flip about status quo for nothing. He made you the way you are so that He can build something. You're here on purpose. And God wants each and every one of us to realize, I want to build something with you. Get it in your head. Get your head wrapped around it. I'm going to do something here. How about it? What would that look like? What would a church look like that this region has never seen before? Let's pray.